So, herzlich willkommen hier.
All right, welcome to the stage for the Metal Warriors talk. He has metal in his name, but has a varied professional history with chemistry and now databases. And in his free time, he doesn't optimize SQL tables, but eventually dinner tables with wood. Because sitting at the computer all day can get boring, and then you want to do something with wood, as people like to say. So have fun with the talk, Something with Wood from Metal Warrior. Yeah, thank you. I'm afraid I have way too many slides prepared. We'll try it anyway. Right. So, something with wood. You are getting wood handed through the audience. You can touch it. That's what it's for. So this graphic shows you on which side what has been done and with which work stadium, which is also noted down on the wood, so you can read it there. So compare the wood with one another, and this should give you a feeling that wood is a really cool material. So, to relax, we're here to relax. We start with some contents. So, we start with an overview of wood. Where does it come from? What does it look like? Then we look at how do you get a piece of furniture. So, lumberers are a bit like hackers. They see a problem and then they solve it. And how, if once you have your plan, how you work the wood, what tools you use for that. And I brought two projects here. You know one of them already from the talk picture, which is this corner bench here. And the second one is this canopy bed. The canopy is still missing, so the cloth, but otherwise it's done. And at the end, there will be questions and answers, hopefully.
Good.
All right, overview of wood. So there's a lot of information here. I know I'm terrible with slides. So what is wood? Wood is, the definition of wood is when lignin gets embedded into plant tissue. And the reason for this is simple. If you have cellulose, so this is the fibrous material, and if you just throw it together, then it collapses and it's not all that stable. And that is why about millions of years ago, plants thought, hey, we could store something there. And then they invented reinforced concrete, but with plant materials. So there's about 30,000 species, and about 300 of them are used commercially, although the biological species don't always match what the woodworkers call the different types of wood. And you can see here how the wood grows, where the tree line is, and what the specific weight is. For the kids who are around and are being asked by their teacher, does wood float? Now you're allowed to say, depends. So the price range is very interesting. So of course there's always kind of temporary fashions, but we're currently for ebony at the top level, these are net prices, 58,000 euros per cubic meter. I have a little bit of that with me here. What do we use it for? For everything really, up to space technology. So there are now wood satellites. The Japanese did some interesting stuff there, and also the Americans built some of their first moon probes with wood. They didn't arrive at the moon, but that was not the wood's fault.
Let's look at the extremes. One thing is the height. It's very interesting that the capital that's the most top of the wie die Douglas. You couldn't ask it because it was cut down for over 100 years. So the years we are old, something like this can become. So 5,000 years is normal for some kind. Let's ask what was for 5,000 years again. There was Roman Cheops ordered his pyramid, just to get a feeling. If you look at the root as an individual, then the human pine was 11,000 years the oldest individual. That's when the Stone Age just ended, and it knows us human very well. And when it goes to clone line, it's about 6 million years age. That's just to get an overview. And also, they're very cool, that's Acacian. They can communicate with each other. So they're also very symbiotic, like all trees. They have also their own private army with ants. They get enemies who eat them away. Trees are cool, not just for the climate. That's how what a tree looks like if you cut through it. There's one direction, it's the axial direction. That's a brown line that you follow. Then there's a radial. That's from the inside to the outside. And there's also tangential that you know from the circuit. This is not circuit, but we get to this. We know that Holz disappears. We have 30% to 0% wood humidity. That's when we start to do something with wood, so it works a lot in comparison to some people who work for the state. The problem is with wood that the reducement is not the same. So in axial we have much less reduction than radial and tangential. And so when you look at the circuit, then you see that this cannot fit because in the tangential direction it reduces too fast.
Es gibt eine leichte Perspektivenverzerrung, die korrigiert aber tatsächlich an der Stelle ein bisschen.
There's a bit, but it corrigates. There's a correction a bit in this.
Das fällt so noch zurück.
And then you see that it goes a bit back, and the Kante.
So ein Versatz drinnen. Das ist jetzt kein Stempel.
So this edge falls back a little bit. So I didn't make this mistake when I cut the wood. I followed the fibers, so this tree rotated when it grew. So this is relatively common with trees as they grow, some more, some less. So if you're working with planks, that's interesting because they start to twist and you have to work against that. So this star growth in this tree is kind of a problem with the wood because it affects the decrease, so that shows a different behavior, but for some kinds of wood this is completely normal and it's just caused by the cambium, which is this very very thin layer right underneath the bark, so this divides in different ways in different places, so some of them are more and less active, and then you get these things. So hazelwood likes to do that, for instance. Location. As you know from buying property, location, location, location. This is also true of wood. So this is an Oregon pine, and this Oregon pine, well, all of this is Oregon pine in the wood, in the image. You can see one of them grew in warm territory, and it could always grow throughout the year, and the other one, especially the one here in the middle, just grew in some cold location with not a lot of light, and then it could only build up a little bit of wood. Not the same tree, as I said, but the same species. And this is something that's very interesting for a woodworker when working. There are, of course, limbs, also broken off limbs, and then the tree starts to work over them. This also leads to interesting wooden structures, and some wood types have hardwood and sapwood, so the interior is structured differently than the outer part, and then we will see images of that later. And then there are so-called moon rings, which is pretty interesting. So if you have a bit of sapwood around the hardwood, and then the hardwood keeps building up, then you have this white ring. You see it a little bit here. It's not a real moon ring. You can imagine it, that it looks a bit like this, that one of the annual lines is lighter than the rest. So normally this is a mistake in the wood, but if you're a woodworker and if you like that, you can use that for yourself. Let's look at pests. There are pests, of course, and wood is decayed by funguses, for instance. So here you can see red and white rot in the sap wood. So here you can see where the hardwood started, and that was not affected at all because it's resistant against those funguses, because they need a long time to penetrate into the wood there and do damage. So this here is an oak. For an oak, you usually don't use the sapwood, especially if you're working in exterior construction, because it starts rotting away immediately. And you can see the rotting here very well. You could just take this wood away with your finger. It's very unstable. There are insects, of course. A lot of them also stay in the sapwood. Few of them go into the hardwood, but of course there are these hardwood insects. And this embedded things in the core, can be resin, that especially conifers embed resin into their wood. The larch likes to, especially, you can throw that into a lake and then it just doesn't rot. A lot of lignin is embedded sometimes, and then the wood just gets redder for that reason. There's a lot of tannins in there. So this is my hand after working a oak with iron tools, and what happens there is it reacts with the iron from the tool, and the tannins form iron gall ink that you used in the Middle Ages to write documents. And also venoms are embedded, so the ivy likes to do that, for instance. So, about wood-based materials, almost nobody here probably knows block boards. You're also not going to find that in the construction market. It's just not being sold that way. Usually, what you see more often, and you probably all know, is this so-called plywood and multiplex, which is often used like this, because it makes these nice edges. There are particle boards, or oriented strand boards, which are especially used in construction. The standard chipboard, you know, looks like this. There's different kinds of surface qualities there, but it doesn't matter all that much. There are fiber boards. They look kind of like cardboard, completely unspectacular. I didn't put a picture here. There's modified wood, chemically and thermally, and what is on the image here is pinna radiata, which was treated with alcohol to make it darker and a lot more resistant against pests and against funguses. But it makes it a lot darker. And of course it changes other properties of the wood and the stability. You have to keep this in mind and consider when doing these modifications, what do you want? And sometimes it makes sense to use a different kind of wood instead to have the properties that you need. And then there's composite lumber. We don't have any in the hall here, but if you're in a gymnasium, for instance, these big beams in the ceiling are often made from these very little stripes, and that is composite lumber.
Just to the surface and how to treat it, you can do special treatments. For example, if you remove a bit, when you brush it, so special treatment of it, you can stain it, you can see it before and afterwards. Here's also an oak. the sapwort is just not treated, it's a special method. But the cores change very much. You can put different applications to the top. They have different properties, and you have to think about what's the best for your use case. If you treat the surface, all methods of coating have the property of to add contrast to it, so that the color is more seeable. That's but you have to guess what is this trick to put humidity to your finger and touch it, and then you know about how it will look like. Wood ages under UV radiation, like everything else. So light woods get lighter, and dark woods also get lighter. That you also see at older wood floors.
So, jetzt haben wir ein Problem.
Now we have a problem. Or let's say I had a problem.
Bin ich irgendwann vom Essen aufgestanden,
ne? Just got up from the drawing. The trousers look bad. My back is cold and hurts. The problem analyze. I'm not a chair and I'm not a table and I'm eating on the floor. We should change this. I will tell you a secret. I will listen to music that's a bit harder. I have a tendency to middle-aged stuff. So I thought from IKEA I can get it, but it will make it better anyway, so let's start. So it could look like this. How do I connect it? That's all drawings by hand. And I recommend everything when you make a plant, do it by hand. CAD are great, but as an apprentice, I would do it. Why do it? Would do it by hand. But if you draw it by hand, you have to imagine it, and you get it. You have to think by yourself. You have a different thinking process. You have to think how I will do it later, and that's what it's all about. Then we continue, and at the end I have a plan like this. That's how the sitting corner looks like. And then you see some little from the desk, and then I thought in my thoughts I will cut through, and I cut drawing, and that's how you do it, not do it. That's terrible, no one will see anything there. Well, I do it, but you won't. Because I just pressed it together, that you have to know where to look. Every example is a good example, also even the bad. This is a bad example.
Genau. So, und jetzt kommen wir zu Werkzeugen.
Let's get to tools. Custom to the publication and the hacker audience. Should I use the rivalry between operating systems and let's start with Linux, where you do everything by yourself. So tools are evil. So here's a block, and you can do everything by yourself. So people who are a bit more lazy, they use Arch. They have a bit tools that looks like this. They have a good set from tools. That's also what I used.
Stechbeitel, Hammer, Zwinge.
So it's a
Hobel. Was man halt so braucht.
So what you need.
Aber nachdem wir bei Arch immer noch ziemlich viel
mit since you do with Arch much by hand, we do not need machines without an.
Wir hobeln aus noch mit der Hand.
So, we do most of by hand.
Dafür eine Raubank. Geht schon.
So we can use a jointer plane and then we can do it like that. For people who want to to have it a little bit easier, they do a little workshop. So they have a little circular saw, a bandsaw, or bench saw, sorry, and then a bandsaw, and also other tools, a router, a pad sander that you like to see, a jigsaw, just for fun. And people who are with Microsoft, they get a key from a couple of Chinese people, and they walk into a huge hall where there's a big table that they don't understand, and then they can do things there. And every second time, the machine breaks. And yeah, so this is a CNC machine. You can use it. Costs quite a bit. So a little bit more than we have as pocket money. And also this huge hall, you have to build it. It's so what do Apple users do? Well, what they always do, they take some money and go shopping. So there's a content warning here. We've talked about tools. This is a content warning just for the audio track. So for everyone who doesn't want to listen to something bad, please listen away, and I'll show you when the content warning is over. So we're talking about woodworking machines. The cutting speed is at 50 meters per second at least, because below this it gets dangerous, because then it starts jamming. The blade protrusion is at most 1.1 millimeters. And this is an open plane something. I had to push the blade, the wood over that by hand. And if you put your hand into that at a rotation speed with this tool, something 400, 600 rotations per minute, this means if I grab into it for 1 second, then that's what all she wrote up to this point, and the machine doesn't even notice. Those machines are powerful. They work with this thickness of wood without problems. And then there's a millimeter gone, no problem. So with a wood shaper, same thing. Touch it once and you have a lot of fun for a long time. The feed, if there's an automatic feed, it's usually about 7 meters per minute. And at this saw, you can see the tooth looks like this and goes into this direction, so it starts dragging in the thing you're working with, and if that's your finger, then that's all. So whenever you're working on that, do a machine course. Do this course, even for small things. Believe me, it is worth this week. And you can see it. So this wood there says something is replaceable, your hand isn't. That's it about the content warning. Now for my fun things, because pictures. So I will tab out of this and into the images. So let's start with this corner bench. I know the images aren't that great sometimes. I didn't really plan to turn them into a presentation. This was a really stupid idea. So this is what the wood looked like after I just cut it out very roughly for the corner bench. This becomes the table plate. You have to put it together first and cut it and start thinking a lot in advance. This is what it's going to look like later. So once it's been planed, it looks like this. And because I work a lot with beams, and buying beams is a bit cumbersome, and they also tend to twist a lot, so I just used a lot of glue there. Dressing, and you can see here what this dressing machine takes away. And if you look at it, so these are always images where 1 millimeter has been taken off. And that's what the wood changes like. And that's where I stopped. And when it's all done, it's stacked like this. So the weight of this is about 250, 300 kilograms. Afterwards, we go to the bench saw. or circular saw. So it's a bit bigger than one I showed earlier. As I said, I have access to a workshop, so you start cutting into it. You have this upper edge, it gets cut away so I can have something there. And these lots of incisions have an advantage. You take them and you apply the hammer once, and then it looks like this, and you can use that to cut out an area. And here you can also see the plan changed a little bit there, because I left out the pegs and said, I'm not just going to do a bracket around, I do it a bit inside, and then it can't wobble around, and it's a lot more stable than with pegs. So I only thought about this afterwards, but yeah, it happens. That's what that looks like. So the raw thing is below and the work thing is above. Similar here. And there the middle part is being off the table is being completed. On the left it's done, on the right side wasn't yet. And that's what the stack looks once it's been completed. This takes a while, by the way. So this is the faster kind of working here, and I think at this point I've worked on it for 2 weeks already. So here I'm drawing it with a measurement device, so where the wedge is going to go in, it's going to be a wedge tenon connection. Then I put it out, and then eventually we have the upper and the lower part. So from the outer edge you can see the difference. It's not cleaned up yet, but I did that afterwards. And at the end, all of the wood looks like this. So there's a bit of remaining wood on top that you can always use later. And then there's the benches and the backrests. And on the side, on the left, there's the dressed material. And then you go to the wood shaper. Not like this, of course. It's way too dangerous. We start putting stuff around it. And because it's still too open, we have this table that we can move above it so that we don't get anywhere near the wood shaper. So here I can know this is how far I have to tighten it and then go through. It worked. And that's how you use the right setting on the wood shaper, and then that is it running. And then you run through with it. And in this place you have something where you can hang in the backrest. And here's there's this bracket that I said about earlier at the bottom of the table. And then the whole stack starts to look almost as if you could put it together. Surface treatment, very important. As I said, I left these little holes with the plane. It takes a little while, but I think it was worth it. I enjoy it, at least. And I don't care about anything else. I had this little bench here that I put together first, like the one that you do penance on in the church, just to look at what it looks like put together. So one of them is done and the other one isn't. And then you have to make sure that it doesn't wobble. And because at the top it doesn't have a lot of surface to lie on and it would otherwise tip over, I screwed it to a board and then put it through the circular saw. That's also a little thing that's important to do if you want to keep your hands. And there where I put in the screw, I drilled a hole and put this tenon through, and then we start to have a thing that we can put the bench on. And then we have a lot of other feet or legs and a lot of other parts, and now we have a problem. Earlier I said, depending on where the wood grew, it looks different, and here, for this reason, does it match, does this match, does that match? That's kind of like playing memory. But you have to do it so it starts to look well. And then in the end, I numbered all of these things and labeled the ones that fit together. And even if you're working it with a machine, it never looks the same. And people tend to say that carpenters work to a tenth of a millimeter, but wood works itself even while you're working on it. So this it assembled and left a little bit for the backrest, then take it off at the bottom side so I could do away with the board because there was more room. This is everything that's cut away, just goes into the oven later. It's useful for the winter, and then that keeps the workshop warm from what you would have thrown away otherwise. Anyway, here put in these gaps for the backrest, cutting out things so that it has space there. And if you cut out these thin wedges, they can fall into that saw blade. And with this black part, you can see where the saw blade cut in, and you want to take it out then, but of course you do not do that with your finger. So this is everything assembled, put in the screw, done, more or less. This is the leg part of the table. Look that it fits together, looks nice. Surface already treated, that also removes some of the material. The actual feet that it stands on, put that on. Here at the bottom you can see it's not just outside but also shifted inside. It's not going to move around anymore. This is really, really stable. I have someone sitting here who can pay testimony to that. This is the central part. It's more like to make it fancy, but I thought otherwise it looks boring. It fits well. We check again, then plug it all together, and that's what the table looks like. And here we can look inside again. I was a bit mean to the person who has to clean that, but that's myself, so I can only complain to myself. Here from above, and here where the wedge is going to go in. Yeah, doesn't really have a function, but it looks nice. And people like say form follows function, but it doesn't mean that you can't put something nice in, because why not? So here, for the backrests, I only...
sind im Endeffekt so Walzen, die den ganzen Stamm im Sägewerk durch die Messer schieben oder durch die Sägen.
So you have these rollers that push the wood all the way through at the factory where the wood is being made. So I just remove this with an iron that's not really a standard woodworking tool. But so here you can see how the branch changes. So on the one side I treat it, and on the other side I still have to do it. Then close up all those rips in the wood, then remove it again. That's a nice black color in there, makes a bit of contrast. Have these places where it hangs at the bottom, and then you know why there are these incisions, because if you put this thing on top, then you just have to put in little screws on these places, 1, 2, 3, 4. You don't even see them from the outside, really. And then it's completely solid. And you can still take it apart easily, which is useful if you have to move. And
from the top, so it looks like this. Now I have my bench. The same we do with the big ones. Here, 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 and done. This is form for this function, but no one says. I can put in some details. You put in nails. Put it in and cut it off and cut like this, and then it looks like this. It looks like the plate was nailed to it, and then goes to the staining. You see here is ammoniac solution. That's the hardest stuff you can get. Additional natrium hydroxide that can get it out. And then the whole tree is a whole ammonia steam. And then the whole staining starts. You can see here the difference. If I switch around, I hope you can see it on the beamer. It looks good. And now you can see here that the sprint, you can see and tannin is here drin, and there were no tannin in here, so and only staining works with the staining, so this looks great. This is a not stained part and smaller parts and put it in the oil on top. Just fired it and noch cut it again and in oil again. Then it looks like this. And when you have a pen and paper evening, then it looks like this.
So, ich habe versprochen.
I promised, and I think I have a few minutes. I promised. That I show you how you did the bed, thank you. And I couldn't do much because we had straight posts. There you see the trash, and you see what I worked with. And it's similar what you see here. How the wood gets apart if you cut it open in the middle, forces are on the wood. And working all the stuff, cutting again, get the wedges out, put it together. This time like this.
Dann hier ist die, sind die Keillöcher.
Here sind the holes for the benches.
Hier wird angezeichnet.
Here are the drawings. So a bit screwing, and then we get this out, and you can see it. You meet in the middle, one so, and like this.
Oben noch ausschneiden.
And here cut it out, and the first sticking together, gluing it together, and then put it up.
Oben Kranz.
On top the crown, and put it together. Here, stick it together. It's basically everything here sticked. There are no screws here, basically. And smoking out all. Treating the surface, and that's what gets out of it.
Und damit.
And with that. We have now seen it did happen, and this leads us to your questions and hopefully my answers. Yeah, thanks a lot. Do we have time? Yes, we have a couple of minutes for questions. And I see, yeah, the Signal Angel has a question from the internet. Exactly. There was a question about the role-playing game corner. What material costs did you have, roughly, and how much working hours? Yeah, I was worried that this question would come. I think the material costs, after I threw away about 40%, which is pretty good for working with massive wood, especially oak, and after the completed tonnage of almost half a ton for the whole thing, I think the oak was at something like 2,500. And then the real furs that were on there were again 1,000 euros. And then the surface, like the oil, maybe another 100 or so. And then that was it about. And working time, well, I only worked on it in my vacation and on the weekends, and it was 3/4 of a year. Okay, microphone 3. Question: are your oak furniture Is it squeaky?
Unter anderem.
Yes, it does squeak. Part of that is that all these connections you have and you sit on it, then you have a force that works in this direction. And if the wood recedes even a tiny bit, and it is going to do that in your apartment, then you have these tiny, tiny gaps there, and it's just going to creak. And I took that into account. I think this adds to the charm of a massive wood piece of furniture. It's part of it for me. Thanks.
Micro number two for this. Thanks for the talk. I wanted to know. Put you on water before you oil it. No, you can do it. I don't put water on it before I oil it. I don't know what where I should do it before I do it. I try to treat. I have the wood in a certain humidity, in the same as that I have in my apartment, and to put water on it before. Would put it in a bit more humidity into the wood, and also the oil doesn't get into the wood that much. But and it's also not that ideal in the moment. So it's I did not do that. Question number one. Thank you for the talk. I also had a little woodworking project, and I bought three woods at the. So and they were all a bit misaligned. Can you fix this, or where did you get good wood? This is a really good question because that depends on the type of wood. There are techniques where you can do it with certain kinds of wood, where you can water it, and then you can pull it into your form. And if you can do that and they dry, they stay into that form. It gets back a little bit, but if you have training, then you can get into that. But for other types of wood, it's a bit more tricky. If you buy wood, and I always bought planes, and when you go over the wood chipper, then it's the same. And then you turn around it by 90%, and then you chip it again. And then you have a 90-degree angle, and then you get through it, and then you have the thickness, and then you have even wood. And that doesn't change because it's humid or dry. And that's what you have to work with. Thank you again for this very relaxing talk. It's the last one today. Thank you. A big round of applause.